going to be a relatively large revenue stream going to the state that is a virtual guarantee of relatively big money, you know, to the state coffer over the next 25 years or so. I think the market is going to increase, and so you're going to see the potential for a much greater revenue sharing in the longer term as opposed to the short term. On the tribe side, I think it's a good deal in that the move from Class 2 to Class 3 is what's going to drive that increase in revenue.
Senate Democratic Leader Stephen Geller says Crist could have reached a better deal that would have allowed existing parimutuel facilities the ability to expand their games and bring in even more revenue to the state. Professor Light says nationally, there has been a big increase in states negotiating or renegotiating with tribes with revenue-sharing provisions. The compact in Florida calls for the Seminoles to provide 10% of their take on the first $2 billion of revenue. In comparison, in Connecticut, the tribes hand over 25% of all slot machine revenues to the state. WMNF asked North Dakota political scientist Stephen Light, why such a big disparity?
The easy answer as to why the disparity is because the deal that Connecticut negotiated with the Mashantucket Pequots, who run Foxwoods in Connecticut, goes all the way back to 1992. So it was actually the first revenue-sharing agreement that had ever been negotiated under federal law. And the 25% take that the state got was unprecedented at the time. It set a benchmark, I think, that a number of states have aspired to. But the environment in Florida is really completely different 15 years later. First of all, and most significantly, the tribe in Florida already has this Class 2 market that's relatively fully developed, so over $1 billion in revenue on an annual basis. And so with that relatively fully developed market, the tribe had greater leverage in terms of coming to the state and saying, yeah, we'll pay you a significant percentage of revenue if we move to Class 3, but we're not going to pay you 25% right off the bat.
If you could, tell me a little more about, I remember when Governor Schwarzenegger made the deal about a year and a half ago or so, I believe, with the tribes out there in California. They're getting a pretty good share back. I think it was roughly around $400 million, but how did that all come together, that particular pact?
It came together starting all the way back when Governor Schwarzenegger was running for the governorship in the first place. He promised on his way in that he would negotiate what he called a fair deal or a fairer deal with the tribes that in California had the most lucrative markets. And he followed through on that promise fairly quickly in terms of the negotiations. But those negotiations haven't always gone smoothly, and indeed, Governor Schwarzenegger has also faced obstacles from the state legislature in California, obstacles that I think are going to be analogous to those that you may find in Florida in the upcoming weeks.
In addition to the legislature saying they need to approve the pact and may go to court to ensure that happens, the chief gaming executive of Mardi Gras Gaming in Hallandale Beach, Dan Adkins, has also threatened to sue. Stephen Light, the co-director of the Institute for the Study of Tribal Gaming Law and Policy at the University of North Dakota, says the next few weeks and months should be extremely interesting to see what shakes out.
While Governor Crist has this compact in place, it seems, you have to go through the federal government for approval. You have to get past those in the state legislature who think this is a bad idea or not a good enough idea. And so I think you also have the potential for a lawsuit or two saying that the governor maybe didn't even have the authority to negotiate the compact in the first place. So I think you're in for a bit of a bumpy ride down there before the compact actually is in place.